sisters and brothers. Tonight I continue the sermon series called Find Your Humanity, and tonight we're looking particularly at the aspect of community. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the grace that you have given us, that you have created us to be in community. Please open my lips tonight to speak your word and open our hearts to hear, to understand and to rejoice in your gifts and to follow your way. In Jesus' name, amen. Dear sisters and brothers in Christ, I'm going to do a whirlwind tour of the previous sermon in the series, just for those of you who weren't here. And it was entitled Find Your Humanity, and I was talking about how humanity is about being made in the image of God. Right at the beginning of creation, God says, "Let us make humanity in our image." So God created humanity in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Now, the image of God has a huge number of different and complex facets, and it's pretty much impossible to cover all of them, but we can have a quick look at some of them. So it's about being alive, about existing in community and developing relationships, about knowing our identity as God's people, being creative and holy and male and female, and into that comes the whole area of sexuality and marriage and masculinity and femininity and all that kind of thing. However, tonight I'm just going to focus in on that one word, community. And to do that, I want to go back before the beginning. What was happening before the creation of the world? Well, before the creation of the world, there was Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And those three existed in perfect community, in perfect self-giving love towards one another. The Father for the Spirit for the Son for the Father, and vice versa. And so, before anything else existed, there was community. The eternal community of the Trinity. Three persons in one God in an interrelationship which is beyond explanation. This means that the foundational principle of the universe upon which everything is built is actually love. It's the self-giving love of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit for one another. And Father, Son, and Holy Spirit delighted so much in giving love to each other that one fine afternoon, if such a thing can be said to exist before time happens, one of them said, "Why don't we create something else that we can give our love to?" And they all went, "What a great idea. That's fantastic. We want to give our love away." And so, out of that mutual delight and love, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit create the universe. And as part of that, they say, "Let us make humanity in our image." That means that as human beings, we are created for community. We are created to be in relationship. We are created to be in intimacy, in communication, in self-giving love with the Holy Trinity and with the rest of God's creation. We find our humanity only in community. And that's one of the reasons why one of the worst tortures that has been devised, one of the worst punishments that can be given, is solitary confinement. Cutting people off completely from other humans, from the community for which they were created. Who in the room tonight has read C.S. Lewis's book, The Great Divorce? Has anyone read that? In The Great Divorce, C.S. Lewis paints a picture of heaven and hell. I'll try not to give too much away, but C.S. Lewis's picture of hell in The Great Divorce is not a lake of fire and brimstone and sulfur and horrible torture. It's actually a town or a city. But it's a city where, whenever any person has any kind of conflict with someone else or any kind of disagreement, they just up and shift to a different place, to a different house, and everyone is able to build their own house. And so C.S. Lewis's vision of hell is this endless city where the people are continually moving further and further away from each other. Because we are created for community. We find our humanity only in community. But this means something significant about the Bible. The story of the Bible is not primarily about individuals. I have been reading a bit lately in a book by a man called Jonathan Wilson Hartgrove called New Monasticism. And he says something really intriguing about the story of God and his people that we find in the Bible. He says, first of all, that his Greek professor when he was in seminary was a Texan man. And this man used to say, my professor liked to say that most of the yous in Scripture are y'alls. We don't have this word in English except for that Americanism of y'all. That is, almost all of the second person pronouns are plural in the New Testament, but we often read them in the singular because our English doesn't distinguish. This means that the Bible is the story of how God makes a people. Wilson Hartgrove says this. He says, I used to believe the Bible was mostly an instruction manual for how to get right with God and be a good person. And I wasn't all wrong. The God of the Bible does want to have a relationship with me. And people who know God do become better people. But if the Bible is a story about God's plan to save the world through a people, then my salvation and sanctification depend on finding my true home with God's people. Apart from the story of this people, I can't have a relationship with God. Without the church, there's no chance of becoming holy. Wilson Hartgrove suggests that we often use the Bible as if it's a soccer manual telling us how to play basketball. And we're playing the wrong game. If we think it's all about me and about how to make me good or about my personal relationship with God, we'll get some good bits out of it, but at some point we're going to be really frustrated and go, why is this manual not working to tell me how to play basketball? I mean, I kick this ball, and I can never get it through that goal. It's tiny. I can't see how that can work. Same with the Bible. The story of the Bible is about God makes a people. That's the game that God wants us to play. But we know that this ain't always the case. Community is broken. It's fractured. It's not the way it was meant to be. We hurt one another in community. We are hurt by others in community. And this goes right back to Genesis chapter 3. I'm not going to read the whole thing. Some of you kind of know the story. But in Genesis chapter 3, when the man and the woman disobey God, the primary thing that happens is that their relationship with God is broken. And into the world come three things that have never been there before. The first is shame. When God made the man and the woman, they were naked, but they felt no shame. They were fine to be in the presence of each other and to be fully seen by each other. But when they've sinned, what happens? They realize that they're naked, and that's not just about having no clothes on. There's a sense of shame, which means that there's something wrong with me. Secondly, there's fear. fear comes into the world. They hear the sound of God walking in the garden, and they can't handle it because they're afraid, and they hide. Thirdly, comes blame. What does the man do when God says, "What have you done?" He does this. "The woman you put here with me gave me the fruit, and I ate." Sorry, honey. It's not all your fault, I assure you. He shifts the guilt. He blames others. And suddenly, community is broken. And throughout our history, isn't this us? Don't we live in relationships sometimes with shame and fear and blame? But God, the Holy Trinity, loves his creation and loves his people so much that he wants to do something about this brokenness of community. And so Father and Spirit say to the Son, "You're going to have to leave us. You're going to have to leave this intimate fellowship that we've had for so long and go to the earth and become a human being." And the Son willingly does that. And he goes to the cross. And you know what he cries out as he's on the cross. "My God, my God, why have you abandoned me?" And so the eternal community of the Trinity is broken as the Son takes upon himself all of the blame and the shame and the fear and all of the other consequences of broken community. St. Paul talks about this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18 to 21. He says, "All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." That's what Jesus does. He reconciles. He brings people back into the friendship which has been broken and damaged. And in doing that, he deals with the shame. Whoops. Hebrews 12, verse 2 says, "Jesus endured the cross, scorning its shame. He went naked there so that we could have our shame lifted off us." He deals with the fear. 1 John 4, verse 18 says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out all fear, because fear has to do with punishment." We know through what Jesus has done that God is not out to get us. He deals with the blame. Romans 8, verse 33 says, "Who shall bring any charge against those whom God has justified? Christ Jesus is the very one who gave his life for us." There is no blame, there is no condemnation. And so we, as God's people, are called into a community that is remarkably different from every other community that has ever existed on this earth. A community of one another's. A community that is shaped by the love and the forgiveness of the Trinity itself. And in that community, we are called to love one another, admonish one another, pray for one another, encourage one another, forgive one another, welcome one another, serve, confess to, greet, mourn with, rejoice with, be kind to one another. That's the kind of community that God is building. God makes a people who do these things for one another. And as I was thinking of this, the word that came to mind was communion. community, communion. Here in the bread and wine, Jesus makes a community. Jesus makes a people. He makes a people who are one body. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 says this about Holy Communion. Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one loaf. And if we are one body, then St. Paul says, it's actually 1 Corinthians 12, verse 18. But in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. And later on, Paul says, if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. I stubbed my toe the other day doing my martial art. It really hurt a lot. I know it's a stupid injury to get when you're doing something so cool as that, but anyway, there you go. And for a while, I was actually limping around because I couldn't put much weight on that toe. That I'd actually damaged the tendons and stuff. And so my leg started to hurt, and my back started to hurt, and everything else started to hurt. And I don't know what's happened there. We'll go back there. When one part suffers, every part suffers with it. Imagine if I'd stubbed my toe and it really hurt and I'd gone, right, going to get rid of that toe, just take it off, amputate the whole thing. How stupid would that be? But is that what we sometimes do in the church? When one part is hurting, it hurts us, and we want to cut off from that hurt and not help it to heal and deal with it. We are created for community. We are also broken in community. We experience that brokenness. The temptation is to withdraw, to cut off, to try and get away from the pain. But the truth is that we can only be fully healed in community. Created for community, broken in community, experience healing in community. And the ultimate healing is when we are taken into the presence of the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and we get to enjoy the same intimacy that they have enjoyed from all eternity because of what Jesus has done for us in making us a community, one body. Thanks be to God. Through Jesus our Lord. Amen.